Well, good morning to each one. Good to see you all here. Good to have some visitors here. If I can ask you, why don't we stand to our feet and pray together? Let's bow our heads. Our kind Father in heaven, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord's day that we can be together like this. Have our hearts encouraged and stirred as they have already been. Lord, we turn our cups up towards you and pray this morning that you would fill them by your grace, that you would meet each and every person where we are and speak to our hearts this morning, including mine. Lord, help me to say those things that you would have me to say and hold back things that I should not say this morning. Father, we invite your presence here with us today. Work in our hearts and lives in these last days that we live in, Father. We look to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't know if I can do this and get by with it or not. I think I'm going to try it. And if for some reason you brothers say it's a bad idea, you can tell me after the service and I promise I'll try hard not to do it again. I would like this morning, and I'll tell you maybe a little later why I'm doing this or why I felt comfortable doing it. I was thinking, I don't think I'll do this. But then I was thinking back there, something came to my mind and I thought, yes, maybe this is God's will. I operate a little bit like Gary. I just kind of say things as I go. I would like if those of you on the first two rows of either side could go to the back. And I'm wondering if I can ask the young people to come forward this morning and sit on the first two rows. And when I say young people, let's go with the age of about 13 and up through what we consider our youth. If we could do that at this time, and if you're a visitor here and you're not real comfortable coming to the front, I understand that timidness. I've had a lot of that myself. Don't feel like you have to come front. But I would like from about the age of 13 and up through our youth to come to the front. Now, Grandpa Harold, I was going to tell you I would like if you would stay sitting where you were, but I didn't catch it in time, and there was a reason for that. So I guess I'll let you go back. But I'm going to envision you sitting front here with them, as well as Rachel. I'm not sure what happened over on that side. It would have been a blessing if she would be right there with the young people. And if I don't forget something at the end, I would like to make a comment about that. And if we need to go to the third row, that is great. Just do that. Thank you for doing that. I consider it an honor that you would come forward like that. I do think it's a blessing to sit on the front. I find I get so much more out of it sitting up front. Now, I'm going to start with sharing an account that happened. And for the few of you that were at the Reach this year with what I'm going to relate here, it may ring a bell with you depending on what of the groups you were in there. But I feel like God has laid two different messages on my heart relating to one of the speakers, what he shared at the Reach conference this year. In fact, my son who was there, he called me and said, Dad, I am sending you a message. You need to listen to it. And I appreciated that and I listened to it. And out of that, I feel like I have two different messages that have developed. So this morning, young people, I'm going to be speaking a little bit more with you in mind. And if I am correct, I think I'm on schedule to share again in about 4 weeks, and it's going to be right close to Father's Day. Maybe I'll have the fathers come sit in the front. No, I probably won't do that, but I feel like God has developed a burden for me to share with the fathers and also a burden to share with the young people. So this morning, young people, I'm thinking a bit more along the line of you. Now, I'd like to share this story that was shared at Reach. It was December of 27th, 1794. There was a ship called the San Jose that was traveling from Mozambique to Brazil, and it was going around the peninsula near the coast of Cape Town, South Africa. On the ship was approximately 400 to 500 slaves. And as it was going around that peninsula, it was somewhere approximately 100 yards offshore when it struck rocks and the ship sank. And it is said that 212, I think, of the passengers that were on board that ship died, perished. And obviously somewhere around half of them made it to shore. That ship did not sink because of severe weather. The ship did not sink because of any kind of bad intention. The ship did not get caught at a storm at sea and sink, or because the ship itself lacked integrity. That ship went down because of what it did not see. This ship struck rocks below the surface and sank. This morning, I'd like to talk to us. In fact, I think I'm going to call the message The Call of Walking in Wisdom. The Call of Walking in Wisdom. 1 Timothy 1:9 talks about laying hold of faith and a good conscience, with some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And you know, we know and see and observe many times those that at one time seem to be at a good place, and as the years roll by, as a result of bad choices in life, end up at a place far from God and end up shipwrecking our faith. This morning, I would like for us, especially as young people, to be looking and considering choices, the choices that we make. And I'd like, Brother Kent, if you would raise the screen in the back. And here's why I decided, maybe it was of the Lord, that I have you go to the front. Last evening when we were together here with the young people, I asked two of the young ladies to write this on the board behind me, and the marker was not real good. They did an incredible job of writing it, but after they wrote it, I realized that some sitting toward the back may not be able to read it. And I wanted the young people to be able to look at that and consider the call of wisdom. And what is wisdom? The ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. Now, Brother Victor put me on the spot a little bit on Wednesday night here at Brothers Meeting when we talked about the youth, and we were talking about the possibility of my wife and I becoming more involved in the youth in the future. And Victor wondered what my vision would be for the youth, and I'm not a real good one when I'm put on the spot to come up with a quick answer, and I started around for a bit. I already had this message burning on my heart and these thoughts going through my mind. So this morning, Brother Victor, this is what my vision would be and what I'd like to foresee for our young people to get a hold of in the 21st century that we live in. The ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. Young people, to do that, what a blessing. Now here I'd like to give another vision for our young people in the day and age that we live in. This would be my vision. I'd like to consider about, actually it would be six different characters. When we think of David, what do we think of? We're studying David back here in Bible study Wednesday night. When we think of David, what do we think of? Caleb.
David Shepherd Boy.
David Shepherd Boy. What else do we think of when we think of David? What did David do that stands out? Killed Goliath, right? We think of David. We think of David. We think of Joseph. We think of many different things relating to Joseph. Or we think of Daniel. When we think of Daniel, what do we think of when we think of Daniel? We think of Daniel being thrown in the lion's den, right? We think of why Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Or we think of the three Hebrew boys who would not bow to the idol, right? And were thrown into the fiery furnace. You know, we look at those accounts out there and those men out there and we say, wow, you know, they just seem so far removed. I mean, what an incredible thing for David to kill Goliath, right? What an incredible thing to spend that time in with the lions. Or we think of what the three Hebrews did. Or we think of Joseph, where he left his coat and he ran. And we think of the life that Joseph lived. And we think of, well, Joseph, he was quite an outstanding man out there. Or David was he was an outstanding man. Or Daniel was an outstanding man. Or the three Hebrews. Titus 2 talks about God's grace in the present world that we lived in. And it was that grace in the present world that those young men lived in, that they got a hold of, that made those men what they were. Amen? And I believe that same grace is available to each and every one of us today as we live in this present world for our young people, as we make our choices in life. I'd like this morning for us to have our hearts encouraged. Proverbs 1:20 says, "Wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets." Wisdom, the ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding as we navigate our sea of life and get a hold of wisdom. Now, I'd like to think a bit more, and I'd like us to be thinking about this as we go along here this morning. These characters that I mentioned here this morning, they made an incredible choice to stand for God, did they not? They made an incredible choice to stand for God, and we have them as an incredible account in Scripture. But you know, one thing we don't often think a whole lot of, and I believe that is the small choices that they made every day that led them up to why we have the account that we have. The small choices. And I would like for us to be thinking about that as we go along here. The small choices that we make in life that will make us to become what we are. It has been said that on average a person makes 35,000 choices every day. Now we realize that's almost a mind-boggling number. 35,000 choices every day. Do we actually make that many choices? Well, we might make that many choices. It probably starts when our alarm goes off. Am I going to hit the snooze button or am I going to get up? And then you get up and am I going to have a cup of coffee now or am I going to have it later? And depending on what you have for selection, what kind of coffee am I going to have? Or am I going to stop on my way to work and get coffee or am I going to have my coffee here? Am I going to come down and say good morning to my mom or am I not going to? We make incredible amount of choices every day, and some of them are not very big and fairly insignificant, and some of them aren't necessarily a right or wrong, but we have an incredible amount of choices to make every day, and that's my point. Incredible amount of choices to make every day. Yesterday morning when we got up, my wife and I was saying, well, she was thinking about going here before the children got up, or wasn't she? And then she began thinking about the ramifications if she does this or if she does that. And that's just how life is. We go through a lot of different choices that we have to make every day or that we make, and those choices will have a result. Now, obviously, as I said, some of the choices are not very big choices, some of them are very small choices, but nonetheless, we make choices every day that will be determining factors of who we are and what we will become. And as we go through life, and I'm sure many of you can identify with it, as we go through life, whether it's an investment, whether it's something we buy, or whether it's a choice we make, many times we come to a place and we can look back and we say, wow, now that was a good choice I made. I can give you an example of one of them. It was, I don't know how many years ago, probably 10 years ago, I bought a little tractor. And I got it very reasonable. And when it came time to make that purchase, I was like, boy, do I or don't I? Is this extravagant or isn't it? Should I buy this or shouldn't I buy it? I ended up buying it. And that has been a good little tractor, hasn't bought me anything. I've said it numerous times. I look back over that and I say, that was a wise choice. I'm glad I did that. I won't tell you the many times I made choices. I look back with regrets and it's like, why did I ever do that? But that's just how life is. But when it comes to our spiritual journey, especially as young people, as we make choices, they can be very, very pivotal choices. And I'd like to share more of this as we go along, but the reason that I asked for somewhere in the range of 13-year-old and up through a youth to come up front, I believe it is at this season in your life, as you are figuring life out, as you are making life choices, that will have huge determining factors of where you will be at in 10 years. Huge. I don't know that we realize the impact of it. I know one thing, when I sat where you sat, I had no idea. I had no idea. And I will just say today, I am so thankful for the grace of God. But ooh, if I could put anything in the hearts of you young people today, it's to be careful with the choices that you make. And I don't We'll get more into this as we go along here. But in this ever-increasing world with the pressures that are put on our present age that we live in, the choices that you make are huge. Someone has said it this way. In some ways, going through life is a little bit like driving a car. You're going through life, you're driving down the road, you're constantly doing this, right? Constantly doing this. And that's just a little bit how life is, but it's especially crucial, I believe, for young people as they go through life. Joshua 24:15 says, "If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers ye served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We often make reference to that scripture when we think of making our choice that I will follow Jesus Christ. And many of you have made that choice, and that is where the choice starts. But then I also like to, and this is a little bit more along the line of what I'm thinking of this morning, and I thought of Hebrews 11:24, where Moses said, in Hebrews 11:24 and 25, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to the years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." In that scripture there, we see the heartbeat of the burden that I have this morning, that in life, it's not just so much about making that initial choice, but to live your lives in such a way of choosing to make right choices and becoming young men and young women of wisdom that have the ability to judge correctly and follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. We live in an increasingly complex world. And I'd like to consider some things this morning, and I'd like to refer, and if some of you were in Daniel Root's group where he spoke here at the Reach, this will ring a bell with you, and I think he said it wasn't necessarily original with him, but it just really rang a bell with me as it relates to going through life. He used two different things in his group. He talked about boundary issues, and then he also talked about wisdom issues. And this morning I'm not so much going to talk about what he called boundary issues, although I'm going to allude to it a little bit. And most likely, if I speak again in about four weeks, I'll talk a little bit more about that as I'm talking to fathers. But boundary issues are a little bit more what I saw Kent Hardinger speaking about down here this morning when he had those signs up. I wrote a few of them down, if I can find it, relating to boundary issues. They're clearly defined in Scripture. It's you do this or you don't do this. You do this or you don't do this, right? He had them up here. There was a stop sign, right? Stop sign. Do we understand a stop sign? Anybody here that doesn't understand a stop sign, what does a stop sign mean? Stop, right? Stop sign means stop. Wrong way. Is it hard to understand what a wrong way is? Clear boundary. What's right and what's wrong. Dead end. Do not enter. Then he also had a sign up here that was yield. What does yield mean? Well, we know what the word yield means, but yield in the context of yielding, as we think of yielding in the Christian life, takes a little more thought, does it not? Or a crossroad. He talked about the crossroad. Or look three times. It's not so clearly defined. Boundary issues are clearly defined issues in Scripture that we see and understand. When I think of a boundary issue, it was, I don't know when it was, a couple of my children were back at Middle Creek kayaking one day, and they learned while they were kayaking at Middle Creek what a boundary issue was. At Middle Creek, if you go on a canoe or kayak, there is a place where you're allowed to paddle around with your boat, and there's a place that you're not allowed to paddle around with the boat, and there's a clear boundary there where that line is. On the one side, you're okay. On the other side, you're not okay. And if you're on the side that you're not okay, you'll probably either get reprimanded or get a ticket from somebody. A clear line and a clear boundary. Scripture has them, and they're there for us. We think of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There's gender confusion. There's drunkenness. There's witchcraft. A pretty young person can understand what's wrong with those things. They're wrong. But then as we go through life, there's other things that takes the wisdom of God to figure out. And those are some of the things that I'd like to consider this morning as I'm talking to you young people. And I don't plan to go into it or allude to it a whole lot, but probably share more of this here in a couple of weeks. But as growing up in a home, as little children, things that are right and things that are wrong. But then you enter the years where you're becoming an adult and you're figuring life out. You're figuring, making choices out yourself. There's much more thought gets put into making those decisions. And I'd like to, you can turn to Matthew 18. This rang so clear to me as I was considering all this. And considering here in Matthew 18, and I'm going to be alluding to it from time to time, but for now, I'd just like to look a little bit at this rich young ruler. And I'm thinking, you know, to me this scripture paints such a beautiful picture of what I'm talking about. So here we have the rich young ruler. He's coming to Jesus. And in verse 16, what does he say? He comes to Jesus and he says, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And I just find this passage of scripture so interesting because I believe Jesus, as Jesus does, he meets us where we're at. And I believe Jesus met this rich young ruler right where he was at. But I believe what I would call the rich young ruler syndrome here, I believe is what is so easy for young people, especially, and I'm not targeting you young people this morning. I was a youth and I sat there and I understand this when I sat there. But, you know, it's very easy for a young person. And I believe that is where this rich young ruler was. He come to Jesus and he wanted to know what good thing he has to do to be saved. And here's where Jesus met him where he's at. Jesus says, "Well, what do you understand?" Well, he said a few other things first. And Jesus says, "What should I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he saith unto them, "Which?" So Jesus met him right where he was at. And he talked about keeping the commandments. He says, "Honor thy father and mother." Wait a minute, I'm going back to 18. "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now I'm going to refer back to this scripture a little bit later, but it seems to me that the rich young ruler was coming to Jesus and he says, "What do I have to do that I know that I'll be okay? That I know that I'll be okay." Now I'm going to refer back to that a bit later. But in my mind, this depicts the boundary issue where he was wondering what is right and what is wrong. What is right and what is wrong? And it's so easy for us to develop the mindset that I want to know what is right and what is wrong so that I can live my life the way I want to live my life and know that I'm okay with God. Now, we're going to refer back to this again. But I'd like to look a little bit more when it comes to the wisdom issue. It's not so much about what is right and what is wrong. It becomes a bit more unclear. It is not that clear line. And I'd just like to think a little bit, and I'll give you a few examples to help you to understand where I'm going with this here this morning. Maybe I'll first of all share this account. I don't know how many years ago it was. My wife and I walked into, we were going out to eat a meal somewhere, and we walked into TJ Fridays up here at Lebanon. We walked into TJ Fridays, and we walked in, and I looked around, and I just didn't care for the atmosphere. I didn't care for the music. I didn't care for what I sensed, the spirit of going on in this place. And we looked at each other a little bit, and before they sat us at a table, I don't think they sat us at a table yet. Before they sat us at a table, we looked at each other. And we exited. Now, was that a clear boundary issue where there was a right thing to go in there or a right thing to leave or a wrong thing? Or was it something that we had to go in there and we had to discern? Now, what would be the right thing to do? Was that a wisdom issue or was that a boundary issue? That was a wisdom issue. We looked at that and we decided, you know what, we're not going to go in there. And I'm not trying to say or make anybody feel guilty if they ever ate at a TJ Friday or they ever ate at a place where the music was the way it was. That's not my point. Let me go down a little bit of a different vein here so we know what I'm thinking here this morning. Let's talk a bit about family recreation. Family recreation. So it's going to be family night for the Nults tonight. And we are going to just have a good old family night and go do something. as a family, to pour a family together. What shall the Nults do? Shall we go for a walk in our woods? Would that be a good idea? Could be a good idea, right? What if we go to Middle Creek for a hike rather than going for a walk in our woods? 4 or 5 miles away. Shall we go to Middle Creek? We like to go to Middle Creek for a walk once in a while. Look at the snow geese, the deer, the whatever, the lake. Walk around the lake. What do you think? That'd be an okay thing for the Nults to do? Maybe we'll go to the park. We'll go to the park and we'll just have a good time at the park. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll go mini golfing. How about the Nults for a night out? We're going to go mini golfing. Shall the Nults go mini golfing? Might cost us $5-6 a person and we can enjoy mini golfing. What do you think? Shall we go mini golfing? Is it an okay thing to go mini golfing? Well, you know what? Nah, why don't we, let's go over here to Fox Chase golfing. We'll get all of us, get our golf carts and we'll go cruising around and we'll go the real-time golfing. Shall we go golfing? What do you think, young people? Shall the Nults go golfing? Is that an okay thing to do? I could ask you if you all go golfing, couldn't I? Shall we go golfing tonight? You know what? Why don't the Nults just go have a bit of a better time? I know what we're going to do tonight. We're going to cruise down 272 toward Brownstown. We're going to go to Dutch Lanes tonight. The Nults are going to go to Dutch Lanes. Somebody tell me, what's a Dutch Lanes down here on 272 at Brownstown? Bowling! Yes! We're going bowling! And, you know what? There's some games off to the side. There's Pac-Man there. There's some other things. You know what? We're just going to, it's going to cost a little more than if we went golfing, but we're just going to go in there and, yeah, the lights are flashing and the music is a little bit the way it is, but you know what? We're going to enjoy it. What do you think? Shall we go bowling? What do you think? Shall we go bowling? The Nults, what do you think? You know what? Nah. I don't do this very often. We're going to stay on 272 and we're going to go down through Lancaster. It's Friday night. Down below Lancaster. Down over the hills down there, just before you get down to the flashing light at the Buck. What's down there? Somebody tell me. What's down there? Restaurant? No, we wouldn't go to a racetrack. Let's go down to the Buck. I don't know what's pulling tonight, but we're going to go down to the Buck tonight. It ain't going to cost hardly any more than going down here to Dutch Lanes, right? We're going to go to Buck Motorsports tonight. I know I don't take my children to those places, but just for a night out, that's going to be okay. I think that's what we'll do. Well, young people, what are you thinking? Think I should take my family down to Buck Motorsports? You know, we could raise a lot of other questions. Maybe we ought to just have a whole day and we ought to go up to Knoebels. And we could, you know what Knoebels is up there? I've never been there. I understand Knoebels is a bit more of a tamed down amusement park. We could go up to Knoebels and have a good time. Or, you know what, maybe we could just go over here to Dutch Wonderland, the amusement park over there. Or we could go out to Hershey Park, amusement park. We could just live it up for a day. You know, those are all the choices that we have to make in life, are they not? Well, now, let's just back up. You can't quite see Brian Nolt going to those places, can you? Can you see Brian Nolt going to those places with his family? You're all too timid to shake your head yes or no. I see a few heads shaking no. Well, you know what? Maybe in the context of a few of those places that I mentioned, I would probably be okay. But at some point, Brian Nolt really ought to get off with his family, shouldn't he? What do you think? So, now let's just stretch our mind a little further. If it would be odd for Brian Nolt to go to most of those places, what about the young people? I mean, they're at a little bit of a different place. What do you think? Young people could go to those places, maybe? That's what I'm referring to when I talk about choices of wisdom. What should we do with those kind of things? I'm guessing quite a few of you have already wrestled with a lot of those questions. And this morning I'd like to paint a picture in your mind. You know, This morning, if I was Kent Hardinger, which is what he was here a few minutes ago, he was up front hanging those signs up. He was teaching those children. Such a beautiful example to me, and I appreciated it. He was holding those signs up to those dear children this morning, and he was talking to those children largely about what I this morning, and it isn't original with me, am calling boundary issues. It's clear, it's right and wrong, and you can understand that. The children can make a connection with that because they're what? They're sitting up here at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. I don't know, up to maybe 12, 13. This morning I have you sitting up here, and I'm speaking to a different audience because you have now entered that stage where you are leaving that childhood thing behind of those clear right and wrongs, and you're developing into adulthood where eventually, at some point, most of you will probably be exiting your home, and you will have to make those choices yourself. And my heart to you young people this morning is you are at a very crucial age and stage in your life where you are making those choices in life that will be a huge determining factor of where each of you will be in 10 years. And my heart this morning for each of you young people, that you can become a David, that you can become a Daniel, you can become a Joseph, you can become like the three Hebrews when the music began to play and they did not bow down to the idols of the world. It'll have to do with the choices that you make in life and with the convictions that you establish in life that will be a huge determining factor where you will be at in the years to come. And if I can just make one comment as we refer to that journey, and this isn't for any of you to take personally, because it doesn't seem like that many years ago where I sat, when I sat where you sat, and I understand that conflict. And I'd just like to give you all some encouragement this morning. I'd like to go back here again a little bit as we come down to the end. But I believe that what I'm talking about here this morning is a reason why there is potential in the teenage years where there is an increased potential for conflict between you and your parents. And I would like to this morning not to make any of you feel guilty or uncomfortable for the fact that it is a potential. I wonder how many of you understand what I'm talking about. I think if you would all be honest, I'm not saying you're dishonest people here this morning, but I know what it's like. It's hard to raise your hand and say, yep, that's me. But in reality, those years of sitting where you sit can be challenging years for every teenager because you have the wisdom of mom and dad, right? Is that wisdom? Mom and dad, what are we talking about here? The ability to judge correctly and follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. Who has more knowledge and understanding, you or mom and dad? That's timid youth, I know. The older, right? Yeah, they traveled a few more years. Now, I have boys that are grown and they're gone and they're out of my house. Did I always have more knowledge and understanding than them? Did I always know a better path for them than what they knew? Well, no, not really. There have been times in life where I had to humble myself and back up and say, wow, I'm amazed. You know what? Yeah, I was wrong. That does happen. That does happen. But as a whole, mom and dad, of course, they're older, right? More knowledge, more understanding. I believe that is why teenage years can be a challenging time because of that potential. That potential, because as you grow, adulthood and all those kind of things, I'd like to get back to that a little bit later. Walking in wisdom. Let's turn to Proverbs 20. Let's turn to Proverbs 20. I'm sorry, Proverbs 1. And maybe I better not read the entire passage here that I was going to keep moving along here. But wisdom cries out. And that is what we have here in Proverbs 20, Proverbs 1, verse 20. I was going to read through 33, but I think I'm just going to read 20 and 21 for now. Maybe I'm not sure if I'll read more of it later. Wisdom crieth without. She utters her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief places of concord, in the opening of the gates, in the city. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Maybe I'll just leave off reading right now there for the sake of time. But wisdom, according to this passage, cries out to us, does it not? It's like wisdom is constantly crying out. Wisdom is crying out to us. How does wisdom cry out to us? Does wisdom cry out to us when we read the Word of God? Wisdom cries out to us when we read the Word of God, does it not? We can connect what Scripture is saying to our current situation, whatever it may be we're faced with. Wisdom cries out. Wisdom cries out to us through our conscience, does it not? Wisdom cries out. You know, I do something that maybe was a little discolor or a little off, and something begins bothering us in our conscience. Does that ever happen to you? I hope so. It happens to me all the time. Boy, that was an unwise thing I did there. Lord, help me not to do that again. That's our conscience, right? Wisdom cries out to us through our conscience. Will we listen to our conscience? Will we listen when we know that, you know, that was a bit discolored? It'll take us. The ramifications of that is huge when we listen to the voice of our conscience that speaks to us. And our conscience becomes stronger as we read the Word of God. It'll make a huge impact in our life, where we go in the years to come. Wisdom cries out to us through reading the Word of God and through our conscience. Wisdom cries out to us through people, does it not? We can see people every day making choices that are wise, and we see the results of that, and we say, wow, that is something beautiful. I hope you young people learn to... I think it's a blessing when it happens, when you have those people that you look up to, that you see making right choices in life, and you see the results that it's developing in their life, and make them your hero. You know, there's a person that's making a choice. When I grow up, I want to become like them. I used to say that, Caleb, about your dad. When I grow up, I want to be like Caleb's dad. Okay? I think Caleb's dad was a little older than me, and I kind of made that comment a little bit as a joke. But I think that's a wise thing to do when we see a person who's made wise choices. I think you young sisters, you saw Sister Dina out there relating to that person. Hey, when I grow up, you already grew up. You can do that now. You can do that today. That example, through what other people are doing and the blessing in it. Young men, you heard what Brother Carl did the other day. He went over to New Jersey. He sacrificed a greater part of a day or two to do what he did. God blessed it. Make those kind of things patterns in your life. Look what other people are doing in the fulfillment. How do you think Carl felt at the end of the day? I'm sure it was stretching to him. I'm sure there was things that sacrificed. I'm sure it was. But there's a blessing in living like that. There is. Wisdom cries out to us through reason, through circumstance. Wisdom. Okay, Matthew 16. I'd like to turn back there again. To Matthew 16, as we talk about wisdom here this morning. Chapter 19, where we were before. I'm going to read this whole short account here of the rich young ruler. And as I said, and watch for it as we go along here, of the rich young ruler, and what I believe he was coming to Jesus. And I honestly believe, as I was meditating in this whole thing of the boundary, the right and wrong, and then as I was thinking of young people, and I know I already said it, but just to share it again, I believe many times it's a huge temptation, especially for young people, to want to have that clear definition so that I know what is wrong. And so that I can just live my life. And I believe that is where the rich young ruler here totally missed it. Okay, in verse 16 of chapter 19, and behold, one came unto him and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus says, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. But what lack I yet? I just like to make a comment here this morning. You know, this morning, if we're trying to purchase our own righteousness by doing this or doing that, we're totally missing it. And I believe that is exactly what the rich young ruler had in mind. He wanted enough of the gospel truth by knowing what he should do or what he should not do so he could live his life. And I believe Jesus played right into his game when he came and says, what good thing shall I do? And Jesus met him right where he was at, and he told him, and he says, well, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He knew there was still something lacking in his heart. And that's how it is this morning, if that's all the further our Christian experience is. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, that young man went away sorrowful and totally missed grace because he had great possessions. He was not willing to give everything up. And I'd just like to encourage us this morning, in order for us to walk in wisdom, in order for us to not make shipwreck of our faith, it is so important that we get a hold of true grace in your life and mine. And that's what he went. He went away sorrowful because he had great riches. He wasn't willing to give it all up. A halfway committed to Christ will never work. And the journey will get murky. And I don't believe the rich young ruler here in this situation ever got a hold of true grace. Now, when we think of getting a hold of true grace, I'd like for us to turn to Titus 2. These are some of the most beautiful scriptures here in Titus 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. You know, the rich young ruler was so close, but he missed it. Hebrews 2, 11 through 15. You know, I don't know how to say it other than, dear people, we just need the true grace of God. Look at these scriptures here. For the grace of God. Now, keep in mind, I'm talking about you young people becoming a David, a Daniel, a Joseph, or like the three Hebrews. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to men. It is so much more than what the rich young ruler came looking for. He came to, what shall I do or not do? What shall I do or not do? There is so much more in the Christian life other than what shall I do or not do? What can I do to get by with and have mom and dad's approval or not do? He missed it. And this is what the true grace of God does in our lives. And this is the true grace that will make you a David or a Joseph or a Daniel. True grace in verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, I'd just like to encourage us here this morning that in the present world, in the present age, in the present day that we live in, there is grace available for you to be a Daniel. There is grace available for you to be a David. And there's grace available for you to be a Joseph. They found that grace in their present world. And yes, in our present world, in our day, in our age that we live in, it's different. And we are faced with many, many temptations. But I believe there is grace with that kind of a committed, surrendered life for every one of you young people to become a David. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We need to keep moving along here. I would like for us now to think a little bit about the small choices that we make in life. I'd like to first of all make a comment here. At brothers' meeting, we discussed a technology statement and a technology commitment that we are considering as a fellowship here, if we can approve, we are considering embracing this statement. Well, you know what? There's elements of me that look at this statement and say, is it going to reach? Is it going to reach? And is it going to produce what we want it to produce as it relates to us living a righteous, holy, pure life? And I would have to say, through the eyes of grace, it will reach. It will reach, and I believe it will. But you know, we need the grace of God. I'll probably make a few more comments about that a little bit later here. I'd like to encourage you young people now just to stretch your imagination a little bit and think about the necessity of making right small choices in life. As we think of the three Hebrew children, they're living in a strange land while Nebuchadnezzar is raising up an idol. And most everyone is admiring this idol. What do you suppose for choices those three Hebrew children were making while most of their world around them were giving acknowledgement to the idol that was going up? Do you think they were giving attention to it like the rest of them were? I'd like to just stretch our imagination a little bit. I think they knew where they stood. I think they were making those choices. I don't believe it was the situation where all of a sudden the music began to play and they decided, you know what? Okay. Most of, you know, just imagine a little bit the days leading up to when this event was going to happen. People were probably, I'm assuming here, were admiring this idol. And do you suppose they were milling around admiring the same thing they were doing? And then when the moment of testing came, they all of a sudden made a choice. Nope, I'm not going to bow down to it. I don't believe they were. I believe it was the small choices that they were making in life leading up to that that made them, when the moment of temptation came, that they stood. That they stood. And you know, Joseph is probably the character that we have the most information and can do the most imagining about the small choices that he made. But would we not have to agree that Joseph, you know, Joseph is an incredible, outstanding character that we have in Scripture. It's just amazing. It's amazing. And at the moment there where Potiphar's wife got a hold of him, he forsook his coat and he ran. And he ran. And we say, wow. But I believe Joseph learned how to make a life of small choices that led him up to the moment where it came time for him to run. He ran. He ran. I believe it was the small choices that he made. You know, it's good for us to sometimes wonder, what would a Joseph's life look like? What would he did if he would have had an Android? What do you think Joseph would have did if he had an Android? Do you think it would have made a difference what he did in that moment, depending on how he was clicking away on his Android? And when the moment came? You know, let's think about the small choices that we make in life will make a difference. The wisdom choices that we make when we're tested. Daniel, you know, Daniel, he got thrown in the lion's den because he prayed three times a day, right? Daniel, I believe, simply lived his life in the small choices in life where they came and went. He made those right choices. And when the moment of testing Temptation came, he made the right choice. We could look at different accounts with David. You know, David, incredible thing there where he slew Goliath. But you know, we know that David, you know, he was a shepherd boy. And I believe, and we can only imagine, we're not told a lot of what his life was like while he was being a shepherd boy. But I believe David was a young man who just learned to make those right small choices in life. And when the test came, he had the power to do what was right. And I'd just like to give us some encouragement this morning. As we go through life, learn to respond correctly to those small choices that come along. Maybe it's some encouragement from mom and dad. It's some admonishment from mom and dad. And I talked about it before, and you know, there's a lot of things that we could talk about with young people and that conflict that so quickly arises with mom and dad. But you will be best prepared to face the world when you live a yielded life to the advice and the encouragement from mom and dad. Even though sometimes they'll give you some encouragement, maybe that you don't understand. They look out of a different window than you do. You know, the older we get, I tell my children that many, many times. I tell my married children many times. I have three married children now with three children. And it is so interesting to me now that they have three little children lined up. I hear them many, many times tell me today they look out of a different window than they used to. They look out of a different window than they used to. And that's just how it is as you grow up and you mature in life. And I'd just like to encourage you young people as you make choices in life to submit and surrender. And, you know, I could just get into a lot of just small practical things, you know, where we're parents. And I know your homes are probably as real as what my home is, where you say, hey, son, would you consider? Hey, daughter, would you consider? If you have that yielded heart of surrender and make those choices, God will bless you and that will prepare you for the greater things that you face in life. You know, I'm just going to give you an example of my mother. And I know I had this in my mind one time before, but I don't think I shared it here. And if I did, I apologize. But I remember so clearly when I was a youth. You know, fads come and go. Fads come and go. Oh, I just long for young people who can be so committed to Jesus Christ and so committed to His kingdom that fads and pressures come and go and they don't affect us. When I was sitting where you were sitting, the fad came of white shoes, white sneakers. The white sneaker fad came. Now, is that a clear boundary issue? What scripture would you turn to depict that white sneakers are wrong? It's not there, right? But fad had it, and the world was saying, you know what, this is what's in, do it. And I still remember me going to the store, and I came home with my white sneakers because that was the fad thing to do, that was the in thing to do. I remember clearly walking out the walks with my white sneakers on, and my mom's head was in there hanging. She's like, Brian, I don't want you to wear these white sneakers. Guess who knew best? I did. I don't care what mom says. And I left. You think I have regrets today? I have huge regrets. Do you think Joseph lived like that? Do you think David lived like that? Do you think Daniel lived like that? Those are the small choices that I'd like to encourage us to get a hold of. What I'm sharing here has nothing to do with white sneakers. Doesn't have anything to do with white sneakers. You know, when we think of the three Hebrews bowing down to that music, I know the temptation. It's not that great big idol that gets erected out here that we're tempted to bow to, young men. But I think I know what some of you are probably tempted to. I'm going to put my hat on for a little bit, and I'll tell you the idols I used to bow to. So church is over, young men, and we're all standing out here. And here comes this cool Peterbilt driving through town with straight pipes and some guy sitting way down low with a big high gear shifter and a big Texas bumper. And that thing is roaring, and he's just sitting in there, and that's all cool, right? And everybody says, ooh, ah. Do you see Joseph? Do you see Joseph in that picture at all? David? Daniel? All right, let's put my past to side, and let's go out here. I remember as a young boy, it was time. I remember when all of my older brothers got their cars. I couldn't wait till the day comes when I get my car. And I remember the brother right above me. I remember my oldest brother, what he wanted. Got what he wanted. Dad approved it. And then it came time for my next brother to get his car. We're going out here to Twin Pine. He had his eye on exactly what he wanted. He wanted a 1982 Mustang with a V8. That's what he wanted. Does that ring a bell with anybody? And I remember sitting in the back seat, my dad sitting in the front seat. No, my dad was sitting in the driver's seat. My brother that won it was in the passenger seat. And I was sitting in the back seat. And my dad was testing this thing out. He was trying to figure out what to do. And my dad gave it all it got. He decided he's going to see what about this car. And I knew in my dad's heart he was cringing like everything. He did not want his son to have this car. But his son, which was my brother, he was convinced this is what he wanted. And it's what he got, because he was not going to give up till he got what he wanted. Can you see David in that? You know, I just really encourage us to have that heart of surrender. First of all, First things first, it's a life totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. You know, with the rich young ruler, it was his great riches, right? It was his great riches. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's something that gets a hold of our hearts so much, but can we be so committed and devoted to the kingdom of Jesus Christ that those pressures come and go and we can deal with them? Those are points of conflict. You know, those are wisdom issues that we are faced and young people are faced so much. Well, I'm going to have to wind down here very shortly. There was more things that I had to share here yet. There are so many things to get caught up in. And I'm trying to decide here how to wind it down. And I'd just like to make a comment or two. And I would save this to next time, but I feel like I should share just a little bit of this because I already alluded to it, and I'm not comfortable if I don't just talk a little bit more about it. And then I'll wind down and close, and some of the other things that I had to share, I'll try to incorporate in when I'm sharing to fathers here in a couple of weeks. And I actually thought about this because Brother Gary shared about the turmoil at sea. You know, I'll say it this way. If you go up 322 West through Harrisburg, and then you get on 581 West and you're going towards Carlisle, when you cross that long bridge before you get to Carlisle, it's the Susquehanna River. My understanding is at that point where you're crossing the Susquehanna River, my brother-in-law told me that right below that bridge, there's a dam. There's a dam right below that ridge where the water comes rushing down over the dam. And it creates a swirl like this. And they say that if a boat, that they fish in that area, the fishermen like to go right up against that swirl is where they like to fish. And if a boat somehow gets across that swirl and gets on the top side of that swirl between the dam and the swirl, it's almost a guaranteed capsize. And a number of years ago, there was a boat that somehow got on the top side of that swirl. And there was two fishermen in it. They didn't have life jackets. And there was people, I'm not sure on which side of the river it was, that were trying to give them some instruction, and they all sat there and watched helplessly as that boat was... I think if I'm picturing it right, you can't really get the boat facing this way to go out over it. He was sitting this way because that's as much room as he was, and he was caught in it. And when he eventually tried to get on the other side of it, it flipped, and both men drowned. And both men drowned. They got caught in what I would call that whirlwind. There's another word for it out at sea where you have those kind of effects going on. That's very dangerous for a boat to get into. Here is my point and my comment. And I'm thinking of this especially as I think of young people. As I think of young people. You know, and I think of walking in wisdom. I think of walking in wisdom. And I know you don't know yet where I'm going. But when it comes to walking in wisdom, in the day and age that we live in, with our challenges with technology, I'd like to suggest to us that we have our Anabaptist counterparts or brothers and sisters in other churches that are also trying to find our way. How do we, especially as young people, walk in wisdom with all the pressures and battles that we face and that we fight? And what I'm recommending to us this morning, that we tap into the true grace of God and how much we need grace. You know, some people would probably look at this technology statement, and maybe you're one of them, that you look at it and you groan. Must I? Do I have to give this up? Do I not have to give this up? And we can look at this and we can struggle. And then I'm guessing there's some on the other side that look at this and say, well, that's too open-ended. That is not rigid enough. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to keep our young people from getting ensnared in all the social media and all the things that are out there. But I'd like to suggest to us this morning that we don't get caught in this whirlwind of poking our fingers at others and how they're doing it. And we're doing it right. We're doing it right. It's very easy to do that. But this morning, can we get a hold of true grace and us find our way in walking in wisdom as it relates to the pressures that we face in life. Well, I trust I can get into some of the more things that I'd like to share the next time, but there's just another thing here in closing. As it relates to walking in wisdom, I'm going to close with this scripture. It is in Proverbs, and you can turn there. Proverbs 20:29. And this is what I had made reference to when I was going to try to catch Grandpa Harold and have him still sitting up here with us. Proverbs 20:29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray head." You know, I believe when it's the wisdom of the old and it's the strength of the young, when they come together and can have that mutual respect, we have something in our fellowship that is a blessing. And I'd just like to encourage us. I spoke a little bit as I was sharing about the conflict that so easily and so quickly can happen between young people and parents. And I'd just like to say it this way. You know, we're all at a different place. You young people are at a different place. You know, some of you young men and young ladies can be at a place where you grow in wisdom ahead of others. And you can look at a situation and you can look at something and you can connect dots with it. And you can come to a conclusion in your mind what true wisdom is. And many times you're probably right. Let's walk in that reality. And then there's others that maybe are a little bit further behind in developing those convictions. And that's just reality. But I'd like to encourage us, especially young people, and this is just my recommendation, I think it's a beautiful thing. If you can walk in surrender, in that journey of you all establishing your own convictions and learning to walk in wisdom, some of you ahead of others, that's fine. But as you can do that, learn to walk in that kind of wisdom with an overarching, if I would draw it up here, I would put surrender in there. Surrender to parents. Surrender to the brotherhood. Surrender of those things, I believe, will make the journey a peaceful journey. We'll make that journey a peaceful journey. Well, I think with that, I will conclude. God bless you all, especially you young people, as you learn. And you have. I know you have. This is not a message of trying to give some sort of a disciplinary or express disappointment. But as you learn to walk in wisdom and establishing your convictions, God bless you.
Well, thank you, brother, for that message from your heart. I really appreciate your just being open about your own life experiences and just sharing from your heart and having a heart for those who have most of life in front of them yet. I've made a comment already. The older I get, the more I appreciate those that are older than I am. But you know what the problem is? There's getting to be less and less of those that are older than I am. So I just want to encourage you not just to look to those that are older than you, but to really just want to point you to Jesus and look at what is, because at the end of the day, each one of us have to make our own choices. You know, whether we're 16, whether we're 18 or 20 or 80, we have to make our own choices and we have to live with those consequences. So I really appreciate the heart, brother, that you had of just trying to bring to the forefront the issues that each one of us face. Does anyone else have any comments? Brother Victor.
May I quickly come up to the board and fill in the three missing words?
Sure.
This on, yeah. So he said exactly what I had on my heart. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I had to think when Brian was saying yesterday about when he mentioned that verse this morning about wisdom crying in the streets, I had to think of my experience yesterday and how something like that cries out to us. I think it's Dean Taylor that says, has the quote that ideas have consequences. Let's make sure our ideas are founded in God's wisdom, because it can help us have a good result. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for that.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.